Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeremy, I thought we were going to have the worst food take of the day. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine says she hates onions unless they're in cheesecake. And then she flipped and said, I mean cheese steak. Oh. So she must have been talking to Siri. And it must have came across as cheese. I was about
to jump on that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
My wife was watching a show last night. It creeped us out because it was one of those stupid shows like, what's the one where they're on the boat all the time? And on
Below Deck?
Below Deck. She was watching it and one of the girls' name must have been Alexa Wolf. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, Alexa Wolf is, and then Alexa goes, wolves, they're a unique species. And I'm like, what the hell is she talking? My Alexa went off. So hopefully, if you're sitting at home listening to this, maybe your Alexa went off. All right. How about this? And I don't understand this, how this is even possible. Delivery guy bringing McDonald's to someone in an arena wandered onto the Duquesne basketball game court. Like, first off, you're in an arena. There's plenty of places to eat. There's concession stands. Maybe it can't be more expensive than having something DoorDash or Uber Eats, mm-hmm. especially from McDonald's, for crying out loud. Like you could. Oh, you got the sound? Go ahead.
Going to the bench, and Loyola would take over 10 minutes before we get a stoppage. And we've got an official's timeout. And somebody came on the floor on the far side. Looking for an Uber Eats delivery or something there. Is carrying some McDonald's.
Oh, this has to be one of the all-time greats.
I'm actually not kidding.
No, this is the truth.
I think that's what's happening.
This guy's in the corner. Looked like was he going to deliver the McDonald's to somebody on the court? Can we rule that out?
I think that's an Uber Eats sticker. Is that what that is? I'm trying to get confirmation. Uber Eats, yes.
Maybe I'll put my hand up. I'm getting a little hungry. You can bring it over here.
So we saw the stoppage. The man was ushered. Let's see if we can see this. No, this is going to be the turnover in the
corner. There he is. There he is in the corner. Yay.
Who's he delivering it to?
The ref. The ref said later. Give it to me later. Not now.
Philip Alston's done a lot. I didn't think he needed a Big Mac for sustenance in the middle of the game.
I know, but I'm not. Well, the official out there, Tim, he distanced him like, I didn't say now. Later. That's got to be unbelievable. That's got to be something that the highlight shows are going to have a blast with.
I mean, the point is, like, even after the game, like, it's a two-hour game. You can stop off and pick up McDonald's anytime you want. I mean, they're open 24 hours, so it was just a weird scene. And as the guy gets in the court, how do you even get into the game?
Right. By the way, remember my cousin that went to D2 mm-hmm. last year? I thought he was looking to transfer.
Yeah. You said he's at Loyola Chicago, right?
That's Philip Alston.
Yeah.
That's him.
That's funny.
That's my cousin, Philip Alston.
Really?
Yes. That is him. Because when I heard him, thinking, I wonder if Philip was on the court, and they said his name at the end. He used to go to Cal U up in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It was one of the, I think he was a finalist for player of the year and ended up transferring to D1.
All right, let's get to this. Best or scariest mugshot of the year. This was a story that Ed actually found and showed us the mugshot, and then I found it shortly thereafter. This happened in West Virginia. A man accused of kidnapping and burning women with torch. Yeah. He tortured a woman by burning her with a torch. The Philippi Police Department were called to a residence after a report of a domestic disturbance on January 24th. That's when the officers found Sammy Marks, 47. Apparently, this guy had hit her in the face. The female victim told police that she escaped the residence via the rear window and ran from the residence to hide after Marks threatened to kill her and had burnt her with a torch on her stomach and her leg. The mugshot, so it's on my Twitter page, at JeremyCon1057. This is one of the creepiest, scariest looking individuals I think I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
He just looks like he's like, you know, you're going to jail, and here he is kind of, what is it, a half smile, his eyes wide open, head shaved, big beard. He's from West Virginia.
If you had a thyroid problem, you'd look like him.
Well, he is a handsome man.
His eyes bulging out.
That looks like an uglier version of me, which is me in 5 years. So, Marks told law enforcement officers that he did harm the victim by striking her and burning her with a torch on at least three occasions. Used the 4.5 hour period with the female victim to torture her by striking her all over the body, sitting on her and burning her with a butane torch. I mean, that's just, could you imagine? And we were talking about this off the air, Ed. Like, what do you do to get somebody like this back in society and make them normal? Like,
you can't. You know, people like that need to be put down. Seriously, he's dangerous.
Put down.
Put down.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs the needle. He needs.
Did you see the picture of him?
Mm-hmm. I saw him. Look, there was a cross-eyed Charles Manson.
Yeah.
When I was, I would see people, like, this is the Colombian and Dominican drug gangs were famous for this. If somebody was, they would go in and torture the family. They would heat up spoons on the stove and burn them all over their bodies. And, like, to me, it's the most evil thing you could do. They would use clothing irons, hot spoons. Like, what do you do with people like this?
How do you get them back and ready for society and living?
You can't.
All right, last story here. Florida woman rescued from a storm drain for the third time in less than 2 years. Now, you got to help me with this because you guys have walked onto some scenes that are pretty crazy. This woman has all sorts of issues, okay? Her name, Jane, Lindsay Jane Kennedy. So she needed to be rescued from a storm drain, again, three times in 2 years. According to local news outlets, Kennedy told police she went swimming in a canal near her boyfriend's house on March 3rd. The same night her boyfriend reported her missing. While swimming, she said she entered a doorway in the shallow part of the canal and noticed a tunnel. She continued following tunnels until she realized she was lost. Kennedy was eventually rescued near the intersection of West Atlantic Avenue. Blah, blah, blah. That doesn't matter. They heard a woman yelling from inside the store drain. The woman, who was 43 at the time, this is the first one, said she had been walking the sewer system for about 3 weeks. She also said she'd been living off an unopened can of ginger ale that she found in the drain while looking for a way out. There have been other multiple times that she'd been in this drain for various reasons. She'd been arrested for stealing beer from a local liquor store. Kennedy's third... Oh, hold on. Where's her second rescue? She had multiple rescues here. Another time she said she had Bible study with her mother where they learned about Prophet Elijah taking a journey, so she decided to take a journey in the storm drain. And she was listed reportedly as endangered on the sheriff's office missing persons documentation, the detective wrote. Now, the last time was in Grand Prairie, Texas, 2 months later in May of 2021. Police in the town were searching for 4 days before they found her.
Wow.
Like, this, there has to be drugs or something going on or mental illness here. With three times in a storm drain? And, could she have really been down there for weeks walking a storm drain just off of a ginger ale?
Of course not.
A couple days, right? Or maybe it was
Who knows?
What a weird story. Have you guys had...
She's sleeping in the storm drain?
Yeah.
No water?
She might be a little bit of a drug addict.
No hydration for 3 weeks? It happened.
Ginger ale.
One can.
It's the elixir.
Yeah, it's unopened.
It fixes everything.
It settles the stomach.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's your world of stupid. Have you guys had...
My buddy Mike P says he thinks the whole Uber Eats thing was a publicity stunt.
It could have been.
How did he get in? How did he get past security? How did he get on the floor? Mm-hmm. All those things. And now ESPN and everybody, even us, we're talking about Uber Eats now.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to talk about them.
Yeah, they don't deliver to you.
They don't like
that
me.
That may have been your order. By the way, a friend of mine says now she and her son, Cam, one Whopper, because I said the only thing good for mustard to get.
God, I love Whopper.
It's a Whopper. Mm. So now Chris and Cam want a Whopper.
My first job, Burger King.
Really?
Yep.
Not my first, but I worked there.
You help people have it their way?
I cooked the meat. I was the fry guy. I did all the fries. I did all the chicken tenders. I did everything.
What a different world it was. I was 15, barely old enough to get working papers. And I was disassembling the broiler, dropping it into lye tanks every night. Just like, I can't imagine doing that in a
kid do that. Hey, here's a tub of lye. Go throw these things. Yeah. Go do this.
Yeah, how about that?
Think about that.
410-583-1057 is the number. Maryland beat down Wisconsin last night. We'll recap that at 8:30. But on the other side, Mahomes versus Burrow. Well, does the winner decide who is currently the best quarterback in the league? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:17 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. AFC Championship game will mark two of the best quarterbacks in the game. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs hosting Joe Burrow, and the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. And will this matchup prove who is currently the best quarterback in the NFL?
No. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Win or lose?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. He's right there, but I think right now it's Mahomes and kind of then is Allen and Burrow and Herbert and those guys. But they're all super. They're all, you know, top of the game. But I just think Mahomes is just a little bit more special.
If Burrow wins, you don't think he has his number and he's the better quarterback, Jeremy?
I mean, he could, but it's not Mahomes' number that he has. It would be that defense.
Yeah.
You know, like I get it that we always
beat them 3 times in a row.
Yeah. We like when we talk about these matchups, it's like, oh, Mahomes has this guy's number, or they have that guy. Like realistically, it was never about Manning versus Brady. It was never about like that. That's the talk up. I mean, the actual.
That's why we're viewing.
Yeah, the actual like going against each other. Back then, you probably would have said it was Manning versus Belichick and Brady versus Dungy, right? Like you're aligning your defense to go up against these guys, but. The narrative will be written that Burrow's beaten them all these times, but if you're going to look at what they both done, Burrow still has a lot to get done in this league to catch up to Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, man.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens in this game. I mean, and like you, I think you said, both of you said it, you alluded to it. It's you know, they're not going up against one another. It's not battle of the quarterback stars where there's a competition in terms of
throwing things.
You have to go through their defense and vice versa. The fact of the matter that Patrick Mahomes as a starter has never not been in the AFC Championship game. Think about that. Now, you could also say Joe Burrow in the full seasons has never not been in the AFC Championship game, but Patrick Mahomes has done it longer. And I still say this to you. When you lose – a guy like he lost to the Miami Dolphins the entire season, and your numbers don't fall off at all, Jeremy. I mean, that think about this. How many quarterbacks can lose to Tyreek Hill and their numbers not fall off? In fact, you improved from the last year.
Yeah. Look, you're talking about one of the most dangerous weapons in the league. You talked about his was his yards per completion or yards per attempt earlier?
8.3 yards per attempt.
That's after the biggest big play threat left. I mean, it's absurd what they're able to do. And they kind of mixed and matched. Do they have a Tyreek Hill? No, but if you take a little Kadarius Toney, you mix in some MVS and some Juju, maybe you're making some of that up. You know, like maybe.
And by the way, what was Toney in New York?
What, a slot receiver?
Well, I mean, what did he do?
Nothing. He didn't catch a touchdown.
And all of a sudden he becomes relevant in Kansas City?
Well, I mean, he caught passes. Don't get me wrong. So he had a couple of good games, but he never got in the end zone. Because that was the big story, right? Toney and their first round pick and Kadarius Toney with the Giants. And of course, their offseason spend and Kenny Galladay had 0 touchdowns the whole season.
Yeah. I mean, for the Giants, he played 2 games. Remember, he was injured. He was injured, Jeremy. He couldn't get on the field. Traded and on the field immediately. Mm-hmm. What does he do? 2 catches for 12, 4 for 57. 4 for 71. I mean,
you got to look at his rushing yards too, because they hand him a ball a couple of times a game.
Yeah, so automatically he's healthy. Let's go to Mike in Bel Air, who wants to weigh in on this. What's up, Mike?
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. You guys got a great show.
Thank you, sir.
I agree with you, sir. Mahomes does things on the football field nobody else can do. I've seen him do things that are amazing. I think Burrow has just passed Allen, though. Burrow is pretty amazing, what he's been doing also. I personally think it's going to be a Cincinnati 49ers Super Bowl again, although possibly the Philadelphia Eagles could win. I would like to see Cincinnati win their first Super Bowl, but that's just my opinion.
This will be the third time. This will be the third time they matched up in the Super Bowl, Mike. For those who are wondering why he said again, San Francisco and the Bengals' first Super Bowl was back, I think, the 1981 season, which would have been 82 calendar year. And then in 88 season, the 89 calendar year, they matched up again. So if it happens now, this would be the third time they match. I don't think anybody's matched up three times in the Super Bowl before, have they? I know the Eagles and the Patriots have. I know the Cowboys and the Bills have. I know the Cowboys and the Steelers have.
Yeah, I see Cowboys twice. Steelers, yeah.
But I don't think anybody has ever seen one another three times in the Super Bowl.
I'm trying to think, but nothing's happening.
And both of those Super Bowls were won by the 49ers.
Yeah, because
the first one they matched was in Pontiac. It was in the Silverdome. I can't remember what the second one was. I know it's the first one, 81, 82, was Pontiac Silverdome.
Well, with that being said, I mean, what matchup do you think it would be the best? Do you have any issue with any matchup in the Super Bowl right now? Because I think
How can you? You got a great story in San Francisco. You got a great story in Philadelphia, in my opinion. The only thing that trumps that story is the one in San Francisco. You got two great. I think you got three great quarterbacks and a great story.
Yep.
Yeah, honestly, because I think Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. I do. You have three elite quarterbacks and a great and potentially one, but he's a great story right now. So I don't think you can go wrong with this. Any matchup, Eagles, the Eagles Chiefs would be a big story. Why?
Andy Reid against
the exactly team. Andy Reid. That would be a huge story, and then you have Eagles, Bengals. That'd be a great story too. I think.
Yeah, I think any of them really make for a great game, or a favorable matchup. But you know, just make you wonder too. Like, can Mahomes get back or at least close to 100% with the 2 weeks off?
I'll tell you what,
to wait and see.
He better not win Sunday, because then he has 2 weeks off, and then you're in trouble. You're in big trouble.
Because you're facing either one of those pass rushes.
Yeah.
Whether it's Philly or San Fran.
Yeah.
Like, you can sit here and talk. Remember how San Fran's defense, people think it's the best in the NFL, and I'm not arguing with you. Really good. Philly had over 70 sacks this year.
I know.
They had four guys with double-digit sacks. That's ridiculous.
70's ridiculous.
You're right. Pittsburgh and Dallas met three times. Twice in the 70s and one in 95. 95 to 96 calendar year?
10, 13, and 30.
Yeah, 96 was the Super Bowl year.
Calendar year, right.
Neil O'Donnell? Calendar year was 95.
Huh? Was that Neil O'Donnell?
Neil O'Donnell, who kept giving the ball away to the Cowboys. That's right. I forgot it was three times. Thank you very much. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Commissions Baltimore at 845. On the other side, Jeremy Kahn, what you got for us?
Oh, we're going to – what do you mean what I got for you?
Maryland Terps.
Oh, why are you asking me about the Terps?
I can't toss it to you.
Man, you had me pause. I'm like, did I not prepare something? What the hell did I do?
Terps beat down the Wisconsin Badgers. We're going to talk about it up next.
Why are you going to do that to me?
Jeremy can look at his notes up next on the Fan. Maryland takes care of business last night against the Wisconsin Badgers. I mean, they took care of business last night. I love the way they closed out this game. 73-55. It was a single digit. It was like a two-possession game. And then they just went on an incredible run. Four out of the five starters scored in double figures, including Julian Reese, 14 points, three rebounds, and a block shot. But Young is unbelievable. Jameer Young, what he's done to this program since coming here, coming home from Upper Marlboro, Maryland, he had 22 points, eight rebounds, five assists, and a block shot by the guard. And this kid has been just what the doctor ordered for this Terps backcourt.
He sure is. I mean, it's a good story. I also like when you get kids that you may have seen, too. It's just like, you know, you talk with Julian Reese and guys like that, when you've seen them in high school. It just adds to the story.
Your thoughts, Jeremy?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about the Terps. It's a win that you expect to have. I think, what was it, 3.5 last night, facing an opponent you beat earlier this year on the road. And typically you feel like those teams are going to come here and step up. But if Julian Reese can play the way he played in the second half of the Purdue game, carry that over, and finish the season that way, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised at some of the things, and then we'll find out what they bring in next year. But, you know, three-point shooting has to get better. At times, defensively, I feel like they can be better. But, you know, look, they're a solid team that's going to have a shot to get into March Madness, depending on how they finish. But I do think they have a bunch of tough games up and coming up, and they finish on the road at Ohio State, which won't be easy, and at Penn State, where they always struggle.
Yeah, I think I like what you said earlier. They got to go on a run before they get there to create some momentum. I think they have a legitimate shot for the NCAA tournament. I do. And what changes? What have you noticed since Kevin Willis has taken over this team? Any noticeable changes?
I think as the season's gone on, I think the kids are playing with more confidence. I think that's part of his coaching.
I told you about boxing out a little bit earlier, but one of the other changes I noticed, Jeremy, it seems to me they play better defense, much better defense. They close out on the shooters under control. Maryland used to be notorious for closing out on the shooters all wild and allowing the pump fake and the penetration. Now they close out under control, ready to defend the jumper or the pump fake.
I'm going to tell you the biggest thing I see is that, and granted, they're still working on developing what their identity is. I think we have a good idea of who they are. Mm-hmm. They're not a great three-point shooting team. But on the flip side, I don't have to see a half-assed Kansas weave for about 30 seconds of the shot clock before they go, oh, we got to throw something up.
Yeah,
I got tired of that. That's what it felt like Turgeon's offense was when he was here. Like, you get in a half-court set. If they didn't get out in transition and get buckets, you know, it was a shot and a prayer at the end of the shot clock, almost.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Want to hear from you. Has the Maryland Hoops team improved? And if so, what's the biggest improvement that you've noticed? Again, boxing out was a thing that made me bang my head to the wall. Maybe part of that is being a basketball coach, and that's one of the things that you can control. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care how much better they are than you. Jeremy, you can box anybody out.
Yeah, it's something I tell my kids. Like, when you're a big guy on the floor, a lot of times they'll just look up at the ball, realizing that they're one of the biggest guys, and go up and get it. But if you don't put your body on somebody, you're allowing somebody to poke it free. Let's say you do go up. I teach my kids to poke up, punch up on the basketball when bigger guys are coming down with it. And to the same extent, like, people don't realize how frustrating it is for a bigger player when you have somebody boxing them out that's half their size.
Because very frustrating.
If they're pushing you, you're going to fall forward. They're stronger than you. You know, they're going to get called for a push in the back or an over the back if you're able to situate yourself the correct way in boxing out. But I just feel like sometimes it's a lost art in high school and in college.
I know. That's what Rob and I perfected in a pizzeria.
Oh, yeah.
Boxing out?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Why is pizza made in a circle, cut into triangles,
and put in a square box?
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Math.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Jay in Tillman Island. I thought you forgot about that, Ed. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show again.
Listen,
when Turk coached, Maryland Terps would usually take perimeter shots outside. They wouldn't follow up and crash the boards. These guys, I've noticed that when they're shooting, there's two players at least crashing the boards for the board, the rebounds and stuff like that. That's a biggie. They haven't done that in the past,
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I do. Just to see that the pace with this team has changed so much.
Here's something for you. According to KenPom, his Big Ten Conference All KenPom.com team so far, Jameer Young just entered at number five with Terrence Shannon from Illinois, Jalen Pickett from Penn State, Trace Jackson Davis from Indiana, and Zach Edey up top. I mean, he's best player in the Big Ten, that type of size.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. Zach Edey is. I love him. I'm not normally a traditional back-to-the-basket type of big man person, but he's just something special to watch. His footwork around the basket. Did I hear right that he played soccer at some point in his career?
I'm not sure about that, but I wouldn't doubt it. He's just an athlete.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I like him a lot.
Do you imagine how different life would be if you were 7 foot tall?
If I was a little bit taller.
It's got to be, like, everything's just different.
Yeah.
Places you go into, showers,
bathrooms. How do you take an airplane?
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, buying clothes. You're right. Beds. Buying a bed.
Is it more difficult?
I haven't bought clothes in years.
I mean, I'm thinking, if you're that big, is it more difficult to buy those things?
Yeah.
If you can't play.
What I mean, we can just go to a store and buy things off the rack. They're not doing that.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think it's very difficult for them. Yeah.
If you're 7 foot and don't play basketball, is something wrong with you?
Big for no reason.
Yeah.
So Charles Barkley said, ain't no 7 foot people in the Army. He's talking to Dirk. Join the Army. You're going to go to Auburn.
Yeah.
Oh. 410-583-1057. Let's go to Corey, who's in White Marsh. What's up, Corey?
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing pretty well, thanks. I was calling a longtime Terps fan here. I was a pretty big fan of Turgeon for a while.
Me too.
But I think one of the biggest things I'm noticing with Willard is I feel like he puts all of the guys in a better position to succeed, where with Turgeon, I feel like it was a handful of guys, and everyone else just kind of filled their role quietly. I feel like Willard is a better X's and O's guy, and he's just putting these guys in better positions to succeed, which is making the team perform better as a whole.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate the call, Corey. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. On this Thursday, what Ed Norris likes to call it.
Friday Eve.
That's right. Don't you forget about that at all. Speaking of Ed Norris, Commissioner's Baltimore, what you got, Eddie?
I'm going to lighten up the mood. I talked about the woman that was topless and destroyed a statue of Jesus in a Catholic church. We'll tell you about the day I had to handle a double homicide in St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next right here on the Fan. 8:45 in the a.m. is Commissioner's Baltimore. What you got for us, Ed?
Well, during the shovels, I gave a shovel to a North Dakota woman who had no clothes, well, no top on anyway, no shoes, breaks into a Catholic church and desecrates the church by breaking a statue of Jesus. I have one much worse. When I was a detective supervisor in Midtown Manhattan, I was working in the Midtown North Precinct, which is the 18th precinct, the old 18th. Anyway, it covers like Rockefeller Center. It goes from 45th Street to 59th Street, Lexington Avenue to the water, to the Hudson. And within that is a lot of, you know, Broadways and all the Broadway theaters are there, St. Pat's, Fifth Avenue Shopping, Rockefeller Center, they said. So it's a very, very busy part of town and very upscale. And St. Patrick's, if you've not been there, it's a beautiful, monstrous Catholic cathedral. And I get called over there at the scene of they said they had a homicide. So I go investigate, and this is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And this is why, you know, people think homeless are so benign. They're not always, because a lot of times they've suffered from mental disease. At that time, Cuba, they pulled a real crappy move on the United States. Castro released a bunch of mental patients and criminals and sent them here. They ended up floating over to the United States, and they ended up settling in different parts of the United States. So one of them was a Cuban immigrant, obviously had severe mental problems, and we'd see him in the neighborhood. People would see him. He'd take his shirt off. Sometimes he'd take his clothes off. He was always wandering around Midtown. And one day he went into St. Pat's, and a 74-year-old usher tried to get him out of the church. The guy had no clothes on. The usher tries to get him out. He picks up a prayer stand, you know, the stands for the prayer books and the Bibles and stuff. Mm-hmm. He beats the usher to death in the church. Police officers alerted to what's going on. Foot cop on post comes in. The guy's swinging. He kills the Cuban, the killer. So I can't tell you how creepy. I've seen so much terrible, terrible stuff. But to walk into a Catholic cathedral and have two people killed by homicide, one justifiable, one not, just lying there dead, I can't describe what an incredibly awful, particularly awful feeling that was. They had to reconsecrate the church, and just brought up all kinds of debate about, you know, homelessness, and yeah, this is that kind of guy. But I don't know what it is. I said this earlier when I did the shovel, like what it is about churches that I kind of get it. You know, they draw people in for various reasons, but some people do terrible things in there. And this was the absolute worst I've ever seen. Just a horrible, horrible event. And it just brings up it's so many questions about immigration policies and homeless policies and things like that when you have something like this. And that's a long time ago.
How long ago was this?
I believe it was like 1989.
I'm pretty sure. With the homeless population and what goes on with them, because, you know, we had that story about the woman that apparently kept asking a woman to leave the facility of the restaurant they were at, and then she came out in the freezing cold and threw a bucket of water on her or squirted her with a hose or something of that effect. But, you know, like, I know, what is it, San Francisco has a horrific...
Horrific
issue.
It was September 22nd, 1988. I just found it in the...
So, what? I mean, what's the right answer regarding... Because there is a lot of mental illness, as far as you talked about, with homelessness and... What's the right answer to that?
I think it's understanding that it's mental illness. I think we're still, as far as we've come and understanding what mental illness is, I still think we have a long way to go.
We do, and we certainly do. But I think what happened then is this political correctness got in the way, and I think it's like the tyranny of good intentions. People thought in New York State at the time that it was more humane. People shouldn't be kept in mental hospitals. They just released them. Uh-huh. They had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And they had mental problems. So now they're not getting their medicine. So now you've got people who need their medicine desperately. They're sleeping over heating grates and eating out of garbage pails. And you think this is a better life than living in a hospital, getting three squares a day, a bed, and your medicine. So, I mean, and then there were problems like this, where this guy, and this is the headline here on a nude AP, nude man kills usher, wounds police officer in San St. Patrick's.
I think I agree with that political correctness got in the way, but I also think the condition of some of those institutions are abusive.
Oh, there's always
so I think there has to be there has to be an upgrade in how they're living. Listen, they're in a mental health system not because they're criminals. They're in a mental but often they're treated like criminals. It's like jail.
Well, I don't think criminals should be mistreated either. I mean, it's like I think the state should take the high road as far as, you know, the punishment shouldn't be as inhumane as the crime. You know, they should just kind of take the high road and don't treat people like animals. But I mean, there was a terrible case. I remember when I was a kid, there was a place called Willowbrook on Staten Island
with some mental ill people.
And I think it was kids mostly, but it was like mentally handicapped kids and adults. They were living in their own feces.
It was.
They exposed that place, shut it down. It was disgusting what they were doing.
And a lot of that is it's back then. I don't know what it is now. Minimum wage paying jobs.
Yeah.
The people that work in there.
Very little training.
Yes.
People don't know how to deal with people.
You got to train and make sure. To me, Ed, and we saw this in law enforcement. Extensive training proves who really has the heart for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you see it in the law enforcement, guys, men and women, just jump out. At some point, they lose heart because of the extensive training they have to go through. Same thing with these institutions we're talking about. Yeah. Extensive training will determine who's really in this for the right reason. Right. And I think you have to have real professionals working in these places, because if not, it's going to lead to abuse, because I'm coming to work every day, not making enough money, dealing with you. I don't want to be here anyway. I'm only here because I need a job.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to abuse.
Yeah. And what happens too is panic is what happens in the absence of training, because you're scared now. You think you're in danger, and you're not. Or if you are, you should be able to handle the situation. But if you don't have training, that's what happens. And this is why I believe I'm such a proponent of training when I ran police departments. I made them train, brought in people who teach them how to fight inside hallways and apartments to defend themselves, because I don't want them going to the gun all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's. That's why you have so much of that in our society. People who carry that badge, a lot of them, not a lot of them, but some of them are afraid.
Yes.
And the only defense they have, if you're in that kind of world, I don't know why you don't take self-defense classes, hand-to-hand combat classes. I don't know why you don't, because the majority of your assaults are going to be hand-to-hand. But when you're getting your ass whipped, you're getting your ass whipped, you're going to go to something else because you don't know how to use your hands.
I'll go tell
or
you,
your feet.
A legend in the NYPD. He was a self-defense instructor in the NYPD. He was like a 6th-degree black belt in Goju. Mm-hmm. He's a real accomplished martial artist. He told us, you need to train and train and train and train some more for the rest of your career. He instilled that in us. He was a legend. And he was like an average, he was like a 5'8" guy, but you would not want to fight with this man. He was that guy. And I tell you, I give credit. There was a woman in my academy class named Maria Padilla.
Maria Padilla.
Yeah, Maria Padilla.
like Rosanna, what was the name?
Rosanna Dana. But like, Maria said when it was boxing, she paired up and she goes, I want it to hit me. Don't take it easy on me. I want to know what it's like to be hit by a man. I've never had a man punch me. So I hit
her. How long did you date her?
Yeah, did you spank her later?
Yeah. Maria wasn't interested in me. Were you?
Okay. Okay.
But I hit her with a right hand, knocked her to the mat. She got up.
Were you saying she's more interested in Rob or she's more interested in like a Gina Crash type?
Gina Crash. Okay. Yeah.
She said you were. He didn't say you. He
I
said,
did.
No, you said you were me.
Or any of us.
I said. I mean, let's be honest.
You could get you a Maria Padilla? What? Why'd you stop laughing?
I don't know.
And you could have had some of the most amazing love stories when you were shouting from down at Maria, let me in! Maria! You could start, just like the Bronx Tale. You're not coming in, you bastard!
Thank you very much, Ange. Now you can go ahead and hit him. 410-583-1057 is the number. Ray Lewis shares his thoughts on the Ravens, Lamar, and the team's current situation at 9:15 on the other side. Our buddy Wally Williams joins us to talk about the football championships, the conference football championships, up next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.